Because we didn't teach much last week. Because of the snow, we got started a little bit late. But we finished up talking about marriage in Eden. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. We didn't cover all aspects. I didn't spend a lot of time on the role of the man in the family or anything like that. But I did mention it. We mentioned that the woman was created after the man to complement him as a suitable helper in verse 18, and how helpmeet means that God made the woman his companion, his completer, and a help, aid, who is meet, which means fitting or suitable to him. We also said that biblical marriage involves the following things, following three things. Number one, leaving. Number two, cleaving. And number three, a one flesh union. The purpose of marriage is threefold: companionship, procreation, and a helpmeet or help. God defines the home as a place where the husband knows what God says and teaches his wife and family, and the wife helps him do what God says. So we began last week at the very end. We read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Let's go ahead and turn there, just so we can remember or go over where we were at. This section is called Satan the Tempter. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So there's really a lot here. And as always, I just kind of pick out the major things. And I don't always cover everything there is. So I'm just letting you know. The existence of a personal devil is scoffed at by many. We read this last week. And doubted by more. Modernists believe evil exists, but not an evil one. Satan is often regarded as an impersonal force, an imagination, a medieval invention designed to scare people into the church, or an excuse on which to blame our shortcomings. None of this is true. For the Bible clearly teaches the existence of a personal, malevolent, evil one called the devil. And I think this is very important for us to realize. I think sometimes in our day-to-day lives, we don't really give him the, I don't know, I wouldn't call it respect, but we don't give him the acknowledgement that we need to in our lives. And that's where he dupes us. That's where he gets us into sin. That's where he, because we don't really, the Bible says to beware, to watch out, to be watchful. Because why? Because he's like a devil seeking whom he, or he's like a lion, I'm sorry. He's like a lion seeking whom he may devour. And I don't know if you've seen those shows on television where the lion's walking back and forth waiting for his, you know, kind of looking for his prey or whatever, but he's just like that. Seven Old Testament books and 19 New Testament books refer to Satan as a real being. Each of the writers of the New Testament mentions him. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the devil, rebuked the devil, cast out devils, taught about the devil, and defeated the devil on the cross. The reality of Satan is most readily seen in the life of Jesus Christ. Now, we looked this up last week, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and we see where Jesus is attacked by Satan. We find that three names are used in these verses: devil, tempter, and Satan. And then we ask the question, how did Jesus answer the devil each time? And the answer is, it is written. Or shall we say, he used the word of God to fight off the tempter. If Christ, who is perfect, had to use scripture to fight the devil, how much more should we do the same thing? Can you quote a scripture for each temptation the devil throws at you? And that's the best way to fight the devil, is to have a scripture for each situation that you can remind yourself, okay, this is what God has said. Because a lot of times we might remember some of it. Like a lot of times when I'm trying to quote a verse, I'll remember three quarters of the verse. But it's that maybe that key part that I didn't get it quite right or whatever. And so it's important for us to look it up to find out what God has said. Psalm 119, we're very familiar with. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. But it is so true. The more of God's word we hide in our heart, the more we can be on an offensive against the devil when he comes to attack us. It appears that the serpent originally was a creature that walked upright, because it is only after the fall that God condemns it to crawl on its belly. And we looked that up last week in Genesis 3:14. Originally, it was probably the most clever and beautiful of animals. The first part of Genesis 3 and verse 1 is referring to the serpent as God made him. So let's go now to the origin and original estate of Satan. Turn to Isaiah. Well, let's look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28, there's two main scriptures that talk about the origin and his original estate of Satan. One is in Isaiah 14, and the other one is Ezekiel 28. Satan's name was Lucifer. We find that in Isaiah 14, 12, which means son of the morning or day star. Details of his earliest existence are given in Ezekiel 28, verses 11 through 19. So let's go ahead and read those verses. Ezekiel 28, 11 through 19. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and it will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Primarily, this passage is a prophecy against the king of Tyre, probably Ethbaal II. The first 10 verses in the chapter were fulfilled by Nebuchadnezzar's invasion and 13-year siege of Tyre, which took place in 598 to 585 BC. However, within this prophecy and beyond this prophecy, we see another personage, the evil one behind the king of Tyre, which we find is Satan himself. And many times you do find this, where Satan will use somebody for his devices or for his purposes. This this passage is also known as a double prophecy, a feature common to several Old Testament prophecies, meaning it has a near and a far fulfillment. In its secondary sense, the king of Tyre is a harbinger of the coming Antichrist, if you look at verse 2. The prophecy goes beyond these two kings to reveal the one actually behind their activities. And note the change in verse 11, where it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying..." All right, so from this scripture, Ezekiel 28, verses 11 through 19, we learn the following things about Satan. Satan was a created being. We see that in verses 13 and 15. This is great news for the Christian because it means that the devil cannot be all-powerful. It also means that we can have victory over him. Amen. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Satan is not all-knowing. In other words, he can't read our minds, and he's not everywhere at once. Because he is a created being, the devil is not self-existent and can never be free from his dependence upon the Creator, even though he likes to think that he is, and he can do whatever he wants. He may vainly seek to behave independently and even act under the delusion that he can defeat God. However, he will one day be defeated and cast into the lake of fire for eternity. And if you'd like to look in Revelation 20 and verse 10, the Bible tells us, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Many of us have seen that verse several times. Next, I'd like you to see that Satan is a celestial being. We find that in verses 14 and 16. He is called, quote, "the anointed cherub," end quote. Cherubim are translucent creatures having four wings and four faces. They are the guardians of the glory of God. So if you'll just stay right there in Ezekiel, Ezekiel 10:4 shows us this. Ezekiel 10:4, "Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory." Now if you'll jump down to verses 18 and 19. "Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims, and the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also were beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them." So their representation guarded the mercy seat in the tabernacle, and the glory of God appeared between them. Another verse that shows us this is Exodus chapter 25. Exodus 25 and verse 22. Exodus 25, 22. "And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat and from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." Another thing I'd like you to see is the fact that Satan was the sum of wisdom, beauty, and perfection. We see that in verses 12 and 15 of Ezekiel 28. Perhaps he was created the most beautiful and intelligent of all celestial beings. We see the description of Lucifer's beauty in verse 13, as he was covered with every precious stone conceivable. And I have a message that I put together about heaven. And when I did that message, I got all these pictures of all these different stones. They're beautiful. Some of them are clear. You can look right through them. They just have these beautiful colors. And he was adorned with all of these beautiful stones. So he was a very beautiful thing to behold. Also, Satan was the covering cherub. We see in verses 14 and 16. Satan was a cherubim, and his original state was that of the guardian or protector of the very throne of God. Even the archangel Michael recognized the high position Satan once held before the fall. And we see that in Jude verse 9. Jude, any chapter, verse 9. Here in Jude 9, we see, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. A power and wisdom sufficient to guard the throne of God, and a glory and beauty that would become the highest officer in the court of heaven, gives us some estimation of Satan's present power and position. And so we need to make sure that we are, as the Bible says, aware of his devices, and that we are mindful of these things each day as he will try to attack us and take advantage. But also, Satan was created perfect, as we see in Ezekiel 28:15. This simply means he was the perfect fulfillment of his creator's intention. Nevertheless, as a free moral agent, just like Adam and Eve were, he was capable of choosing evil as well as good. And unfortunately, he chose evil. So let's go on and look at the sin of Satan. So let's turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 12 through 17 of Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? The prophecy of Isaiah 14 is what we call a proleptic, meaning the prophet is speaking of the future from the future, so that what he is saying appears to be past. The context of this chapter is the second coming of Christ and the millennial kingdom. Much of what is said about Satan in verses 9 through 11 and verses 15 through 17 is yet to occur. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 10, teaches that Satan will be cast out of heaven in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, prior to the second coming of Christ and the establishment of millennial rule. Now, it's important to distinguish Satan's moral fall from his physical banishment from heaven. So let's look at the moral fall of Satan. According to Ezekiel 28:15, there was a definite occasion when Satan sinned and fell from his exalted position. Let's just look at that. The Bible says here, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." So this is the definite occasion that Satan sinned. Obviously, this occurred at some point between his creation and the fall of man in Genesis 3. And we've already talked about this earlier when we were going through the gap theory and such as that, because some people associate Satan's fall with the gap theory and all that. But we've already talked about this some. According to Ezekiel 28:17, Lucifer sinned through pride. This verse in Ezekiel tells us his heart was lifted up because of his beauty. Satan was the first being to manifest a will opposed to the will of God. Whenever your will is opposed to God and his word, it is in the spirit of Satan's rebellion. Whenever you're selfish and you want to do things for yourself, that's in the spirit of Satan's rebellion. His five I wills, I will, I will, I will. That's Satan. And so whenever you're being selfish, whenever you're prideful and thinking of yourself, this is in the spirit of Satan's rebellion. You need to realize who's behind that and ask the Lord to help you. Even when you say, well, that's just your opinion, if the person is quoting the Word of God, you should consider it and see if, is that what the Bible says or not? It's important for us to recognize what the Bible says, especially when the person is quoting Scripture. So notice the five I wills of Satan in Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14. Of course, the last one being the worst one of all, I will be like the Most High. Let's look at each one. The first one, I will ascend into heaven, he says. So I'll go ahead and turn there myself. I will ascend into heaven. This statement indicates the domain of Lucifer was both earthly in Eden and heavenly. He could go to the throne. Second, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. A throne indicates authority, which Lucifer certainly had. In scriptural symbolism, stars can speak of angels. One example of that is Revelation 12:4. Revelation 12:4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to deliver her child as soon as it was born. So the name Lucifer means day star. Evidently, Lucifer aspired to usurp complete authority over all celestial beings. Number three, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. Satan sought authority over the kingdom of God. And then the next two, or the last two, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. In other words, he wanted to be where God was. I will be like the Most High. This sums up the heart intent of Satan. He wants to be God. Matthew 4:9 shows us that. Here in the temptation of Christ, and he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. This reveals his desire for every man, woman, and child to become devil worshipers. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You say, how does this make you a devil worshiper? Well, if you're not worshiping the true God, you're worshiping other. What is other? That's Satan. Satan covers everything else. There's only one true God, only one to worship. And if you're not worshiping him, then you're worshiping something else. And that's how he works. He blinds our minds to the truth. And this we see in the temptation of Eve as well. It also reveals his personal plans for the future. If you'll look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sitteth as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And just like there's a Trinity in the Bible, there's also a satanic triad. Satan, who seeks to usurp God the Father. The Antichrist, who will imitate God the Son. And the false prophet, who counterfeits God the Spirit. Each of these personages can be seen in Revelation chapter 13. So then that brings us to the next point. Where is Satan now? Or the physical fall of Satan. So we've established the moral fall of Satan. What was the physical fall of Satan? We'll look at Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. Revelation 12:9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This verse shows us that Satan, the devil, the serpent, and the great dragon are all the same individual, and how he was cast down to the earth, where he's dwelling today, with his wicked angels. So look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Here we see Satan is called the prince of the power of the air, which also alludes to his dwelling on the earth. This was previewed by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 10 and verse 18. So if you'll turn there, Luke 10, 18. Luke 10, 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So here we see that reference of Satan falling to the earth. Okay? Popular superstition has Satan as the ruler of hell. The Bible teaches that he still has access to the throne room of the third heaven and that he walks about in the earth. So the two verses that show us him walking about in the earth is Job. Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. The other verse is 1 Peter 5:8. First Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We also see that Satan can appear before God to accuse believers, which we find in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. Now, we've already looked at verse 9, but verse 10 tells us about this. Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. All right, this is probably the most important part at the end here. What are the devil's tactics? It's important for us to be aware of the devil's tactics so that we can be on guard. First of all, we see that we see that very first point in Genesis 3:1. It starts right off, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. His subtlety. This means cunning, crafty. This is why the believer must be so cautious in regard to life and doctrine. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So it's important to note that some people are preaching another Jesus today. Some people are preaching another gospel. If it's not the gospel that the Bible gives, that's another gospel. No matter what argument they give, if it's not what the Bible says, of course the Bible tells us what the gospel is in 1 Corinthians I think it's 1 Corinthians 15. So, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ by faith, we believe in Christ himself. Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9 is another verse that shows us his subtlety. Oh, I said 1. Galatians 1. Verses 6 through 9, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So not only is Satan, one of Satan's tactics, subtlety, he also attacks the careless. The woman was being careless by lingering around the forbidden tree of the knowledge of good and evil and by talking with the serpent. Notice, and we're all familiar with 1 Thessalonians 5:22, which says, abstain from all appearance of evil. She wasn't abstaining from all appearance of evil. The only tree that God told her not to eat of, and here she was hanging around that tree. It's not a good idea to be in places where you might be tempted to sin. That's just a common principle that we should establish in our lives. Well, my friend's there, and I want to witness to him, so I'm going to go to the bar. No, that's wrong. That's a poor idea. It's going to get you into trouble. So we need to abstain from all appearance of evil. Notice in 1 Peter 5:8, where we find the devil seeks, quote, whom he may devour, end quote. We just read that. Like the lion, the devil lingers around the edges of humanity, waiting for someone that is careless and straggles from the safety of the herd. This is why the believer must grow strong in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Strong in his spiritual life and armor. We read that in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. It tells you all the different pieces of armor that we need to put on every day to protect ourselves and why he must be spiritually alert at all times. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. I'm gonna turn there. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Sin and backsliding weaken the believer so that he is more susceptible to the devil's attacks. So number one, he's subtle. Number two, he attacks the careless. Number three, he attacks God's word. And this part is really important. I don't think we're going to be able to get done with it. But the believer must understand that the devil will always try to get him to doubt God's word. Believing and following the Bible is a spiritual battle. I must not allow the devil to shake my confidence in God's word. The three things that the devil did toward the word of God in Genesis 3 represent the three types of attack upon the Bible, three types of attacks upon the Bible that we find in the world today. And I'll just mention them real quick, and then we'll close. First of all, he questioned God's word in verse 1. He denied God's word in verse 4. And in verse 5, he substituted his own words for God's words. And we'll look at that next week. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the blessings that you give us. Lord, most of all, we thank you for saving us. Lord, we know none of us here deserve to be saved. Lord, there's no goodness in us except your goodness. And Lord, we just pray that we would acknowledge that today and lift you up and glorify you for who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, let us praise you and magnify your name this morning as we hear the word of God preached. Lord, we just pray that you would open our hearts Help us, Lord, this morning as we hear the word of God, and allow us, may we allow you to work in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.